welcome to Salisbury Christian Church's Sermon Podcast. The sermon you are about to listen to was delivered on February 19th, 2012. This week, we take a look at the book of 2 Timothy and how Paul left behind a legacy of Christ. Be sure to check out our website at salisburychristianchurch.org for the latest news and events at Salisbury Christian Church. We're going to be taking a look at 2 Timothy today, the whole book of 2 Timothy, because I think there are some things in here that you just can't discuss without looking at the whole book at one time. As I said, Paul was condemned to die, and 2 Timothy is his very last writing. You know, they always say that your best ideas come when you're under pressure. And college students use that excuse to procrastinate. But Paul was certainly under some pressure here. And he was basically trying to sum up to Timothy what his ministry was all about. Paul had escaped execution probably several times. But this time he knows that it is his time to go. And here Paul is telling Timothy exactly what it is that Timothy is supposed to do in the church at Ephesus. Timothy is a young minister, a young pastor in Ephesus. And Paul and Timothy were basically two peas in a pod. And Paul always called Timothy his son in the faith. They loved each other. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that he would always be with him. But what we get from 2 Timothy is this idea of legacy. Now, the word legacy is never used in the Bible. Legacy is sort of a new word. Really, it only appears in some way in the Old Testament when they're talking about inheritance or something that is being given in place of a daughter being married to a son. So it's kind of like a dowry. That's how it is taken in the Old Testament. But the legacy I speak of is what is left behind when you leave this earth. And Paul is about to leave this earth in 2 Timothy. And he is wanting to make sure that a legacy is left behind. But what is interesting to notice, you know, we always record people's last words, and these are Paul's last words, and we always want to say something profound in our last words. We always want to make someone remember what we said at our last moment. But that's not the way Paul is taking it here. He wants us to remember Christ. He wants us to remember the legacy of Christ, not the legacy of Paul. We find three things in this passage, in this whole book of 2 Timothy. The legacy of family, the legacy of the word, and the legacy of the church. And really all of those things come together to make the legacy of Christ. First of all, the legacy of family. You can see in 2 Timothy, if you want to turn to the book there, we're going to be thumbing through it here. 2 Timothy 1:5, you can see it mentions something here about Timothy's ancestors. It says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." You can see here that Paul is making a case for teaching the generations that come after you. We can imagine that Timothy probably wouldn't have been a pastor in Ephesus. He probably wouldn't have been one of the greater preachers of the early church unless his grandmother and his mother taught him the faith. Also, in 3:15, it mentions these same people again. It says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Timothy grew up in a home of believers. And here it makes the case for leaving a legacy of family. Timothy passed these on, the things that he learned from his family, to the congregation in Ephesus. So you can see this line of legacy of the family that comes from 2 Timothy. First, you start with Lois and Eunice, who were one of the first believers. Then they pass what they know on to Timothy. Then Timothy passes what he knows to the church in Ephesus. Then the members of the church of Ephesus pass it on to those that they know and love. And so you see this rapid expansion of the faith just because of family, just because of sharing with one another. Also in verse 16 in chapter 1, it says, "May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." So here it is, Paul is blessing this entire family because of one man's faith. Your family is blessed by your faith. Your children are blessed by your faith. And their children are blessed by their faith. So Paul wants us to remember that the legacy of family is extremely important for continuing what Christ taught in the early church. Next, we get to the legacy of the Word. And there is no doubt that the Word plays an extremely important role in the life of Paul. It played an extremely important role in the life of the early church. If we look at chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained." Even though Paul was in prison, and this seems completely contrary to what we believe here in the world. Paul is in prison. He's probably at his lowest point. But yet, because of his chains, the word is being spread even more. In his darkest hour, he is doing his best work. And we always think, you know, that we can't do our best work when we're upset or something like that. But when we share the word, no matter what we do, we can prove that God's word cannot be chained. Again, in verse 15 of chapter 2, Paul writes to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." The word cannot be chained and it must be handled with care. We can see in the early church how so many people who wanted the word, who needed the gospel, were thirsty for God's word. We can see how they were led astray by men and women who did not handle the word with care. They saw some things in the word of God that they didn't like, so they left those parts out, or they changed it, or they conglomerated it with some other things of different religions, and it became this something that Christ never taught, something that the word never even said, and people were led astray. And here Paul says to Timothy, present yourself as a workman ready to do God's work, to handle his word with care. And the last thing that Paul says about the legacy of word is probably one of my favorite scriptures about scripture, in scripture. Chapter 3, verse 14, going on to 17. Says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Word of God cannot be chained. It needs to be handled with care. And what you hold in your hands and what you read and what you are convicted of is God-breathed. You remember the first time that God breathed on something? He breathed into Adam. And what happened? Man was created. And here, Paul says that Scripture is God-breathed. Every time you see God's breath in Scripture, it has to do with life. God breathing on something gives life to whatever the breath touches. And here Paul says, God's Word is alive. It needs to be handled with care, and it cannot be constrained by the chains of prison. Finally, and I think most importantly for Paul, he makes a case for the legacy of the church. That the church is the one institution that is perpetuating what Jesus Christ stood for and what Jesus Christ taught. In chapter 2, verse 14 again, it says, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. So, here we get a glimpse of God and Paul trying to get these workmen to be approved by God. Anyone who is in the church, Paul says here, needs to be approved by God, that we are doing things that God approves of. Here it lists these things, preaching, teaching, exhorting, rebuking, leading, all of these things that each one of us has a gift of some sort. And here Paul says that the church is one of the church's primary functions is to train these leaders, to spread the word, and to fulfill the Great Commission. Take a look again down in 2:14 and 2:15. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection had already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So you get this feeling here that anybody who does not enter into servanthood for Christ with this sense of duty or with this sense of carefulness, it says here, their teaching will spread like gangrene. Pretty gross, huh? Here it says that leadership is not to be entered into lightly. It is a serious business when we are talking about saving souls. And Paul makes that very clear. In chapter 3, Paul makes some remarks here that show us some challenges that we are going to face as a church. But he gives us some heads up here about how the legacy of the church can be continued if we stand against false truths. Some of the false truths that we see in Paul's day were Stoicism. This was a teaching that said that a person's mastering of self-control was the highest goal. If you could control yourself, you were immune to all sorts of misfortune. If you could withhold needs and desires from yourself, you wouldn't have anything bad that would go on. Of course, that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches, yes, we are to deny ourselves, but God doesn't make promises about having us be immune to misfortune. Here, Stoicism says that any misfortune is a result of poor judgment. So Paul was trying to combat this philosophy. He was also trying to combat this thing called Epicureanism. And here we can kind of see how this has affected us today. Epicureanism was basically trying to devote yourself to whatever makes you feel good. If you have a notion to do something that makes you feel good, go out and do it. Do whatever you want. We're only here for, 75 years or so. Go out and do whatever you want. That's what this Epicureanism would say. Do whatever makes you feel good. College kids live by this mantra. But that's not what Scripture says. And Paul is combating this philosophy as well. Today it would kind of be compared to any preachers or any people saying that God wants everyone to be rich monetarily. God wants everybody to have everything that they can get as much as you can, and that God is happy with that. God doesn't care about the material things. He blesses us with material things, but we can still honor God whether we're poor or rich, happy or sad. It doesn't matter to God as long as we serve Him. So, for us today, we can see that Paul has the legacy of family, the legacy of word, and the legacy of the church, all making the legacy of Christ. If we teach our children the word of God, if we handle that word with care, if we do not allow the word to be chained, and if we allow the church to function as Christ intended, we will see a world changed through Christ. There's a lot of material in 2 Timothy. And this has just been a little bit of an overview, but Paul's last words to Timothy would basically be a good servant to Christ. Do good in Christ's name. Let us take Paul's advice in doing good for Christ.